Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles, and here are your headlines. The state's Public Utilities Commission has unanimously approved allowing Pacific Gas and Electric to raise customer rates once again. The increase is estimated to add about $5 a month to the average PG&E residential utility bill. The revenue that's earned is supposed to help compensate the utility for measures taken to limit wildfire risks. This rate hike authorization follows a previous rate increase approved by state regulators that took effect in January. That one raised rates by about 13%. A quarter of a million students have applied to University of California schools for the academic year starting in the fall of this year. Much of that number relates to a big increase in transfer applications from other campuses, especially community colleges. Transfer applications to UC grew to more than 43,000 students, a more than 10% increase from last year. Latinos make up the largest group of applicants to UC, accounting for about 39%, followed by Asian Americans at 30%. And an update on Proposition 1, the statewide ballot measure on homelessness and mental health. The yes side continues to hold a slight lead with 50.3% of the vote. That puts it about 26,000 votes in front right now. In California, young people who could vote and are even registered just aren't doing it in big numbers. Tuesday's primary election was no exception. Reporter Laura Fitzgerald asked college students why they aren't casting ballots.
Sproul Plaza on the UC Berkeley campus is synonymous with political engagement. But on Tuesday, the day of California's primary election, some students here say they aren't eager to participate.
I did not vote in the primaries today.
That's Sarah Rosenblatt, a third-year undergrad at Cal.
I am not super educated on the elections that aren't, like, the four-year presidential election is kind of what I know the most about.
At 21 years old, Rosenblatt is part of an age bracket that consistently fails to show up for elections. Tuesday's ballots are still being counted, but just 11% of voters in California aged 18 to 34 voted in the 2022 primary election. First-year Jamie Krebs visited a vote center next to campus on Tuesday. Krebs says voting can make people feel empowered.
Even though their one vote might not have decided an election, it lets them play a part.
Third-year student Benicia Jude, who sat Tuesday out, says she felt not only underinformed, but disillusioned.
Even if you do get a candidate that might support, like, certain political views, there still doesn't seem to be a lot of, like, political change happening, so voting seems not as substantial, even though it might be.
Political analyst Paul Mitchell says when certain groups don't vote, their perspectives aren't represented in the results. The California that's showing up at the ballot box isn't what the state actually looks like.
And if only this self-selected minority of the population that is, you know, more homeowners, more affluent, whiter, more conservative is determining the outcomes, then that's just not good for democracy.
While higher turnout levels are expected for November's presidential election, engaging with young voters will be key for candidates in local races throughout the state, especially in districts where a few votes could make a difference. For the California Report, I'm Laura Fitzgerald in Berkeley.
In last night's State of the Union, President Biden addressed his push for a secure border and how he's been blocked by Republicans. California U.S. Senator Alex Padilla, a strong supporter of immigration reform, invited a guest who highlighted a different side of immigration. KQED senior immigration editor Tyke Hendricks has more.
Dr. Denise Rojas Marquez grew up in Fremont, went to UC Berkeley, then trained as a physician. But she's undocumented, and only temporary protection under DACA allows her to work in a hospital emergency room.
And that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And unfortunately, without a pathway to citizenship, I'm always in limbo.
Padilla says he wants to send a message to Biden and to Congress.
We can't forget about Dreamers and the millions of others working, paying taxes, contributing in so many ways to the security and economic strength of our country.
He says immigrants like Dr. Rojas Marquez have earned the right to call themselves Americans. For the California Report, I'm Taiki Hendricks.
The federal government has announced $72 million will be spent on connecting tribal communities, including some here in California, with reliable, renewable energy. CAP Radio's Manolo Sequeira has more.
The Yurok tribe, whose reservation lands are located in and around Humboldt County, is one of the four tribes in California that received a part of this funding. Michael Girache is the director of the tribe's Planning and Community Development Department. Although the Yurok tribe has worked to connect its members with access to electricity for years, he says over half of those living in the tribe's upper reservation still have no access at all.
They're spending hours in the car to go get gas, to power their fossil fuel generators. It's very expensive.
The tribe plans to use the federal funding to develop a small hydropowered system as well as solar power infrastructure that would connect unelectrified homes in the upper reservation with energy. Girache says it's a big step toward energy sovereignty.
If you have a local entity that's governed by the tribe, that's owned by the tribe, and that is staffed by tribal members, for instance, there's a culture of care around the maintenance of the infrastructure that's totally different.
The first round of federal funding will go toward connecting thousands of tribal homes to energy across the country. Another round of funding will be distributed to tribes later this year. For the California Report, I'm Manuela Sequeira in Sacramento.
And that is this edition of the California Report for Friday, March 8th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Brendan Willard, Jim Bennett, Christopher Beal, and Seal Muller. Our producers are Billy Cruz and Keith Mizuguchi. Our senior editor is Angela Corral. Our vice president of news is Ethan Tovin Lindsay. And our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. I'm Saul Gonzalez. As always, thanks so much for listening and have a great day out there.
Support for the California Report comes from Stanford Medicine, comprising its School of Medicine and adult and children's health systems working together to advance knowledge and improve lives. StanfordMedicine.org. Monterey Bay Aquarium, inspiring conservation of the ocean through amazing live exhibits and global action to protect the ocean from plastic pollution, climate change, and overfishing. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy works to create a healthy, resilient, secure world for all, on the web at theschmidt.org.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.